Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you. Now, if you want to contact me, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. The website has these programs on it. You can re-listen to them there, and you can also email me prayer requests using the email address given in the website, or you can write to me by regular mail. I'd appreciate hearing from you. Now, I do have a weekly meditation that you might find helpful. It's on the website. So you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, as you know, we've been doing an overview of the Bible, trying to encourage each of you to read the Bible for yourselves with some understanding of how the Bible is put together and giving you some understanding of the context of the Bible. And we've emphasized as we go through the Bible that God has given us a progressive revelation of himself. It starts out with him as the creator. We come into the New Testament and we find out he's the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to the book of the Revelation and we find out he's the coming king and that he is the one with whom we have to do. And the Bible centers around revealing to us really this one that we love today, who, if we are saved, we love him. He's called the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we look at the Old Testament, we have to be careful that we are not taking promises that were made specifically to Israel or to Old Testament saints and assuming that they are applicable to us in the church age today, although many times those promises represent principles that we can apply and believe in our current day. For example, all of us enter into the truth of Psalm 23 in some measure. And we know that the Lord is our shepherd, that we're not going to want if we're Christians, that he's going to take care of us. And we just love the fact that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Now, we're coming to Hosea today, but before I speak on Hosea, I just want to mention that I'm recording this program on a Thursday, March the 19th, and it's March the 19th, and we are in the midst of being isolated from the world because of the coronavirus. Now, because I record at home, this is not really a problem with regard to recording these programs, but I just want to mention that I keep getting calls from people who are almost frantic because they're listening to preachers and podcasts who are saying that we are now in the tribulation period and that, in fact, we are experiencing the judgments of God as they're found in the book of the Revelation. Now, I used to preach on the signs of the times quite frequently, and I found out that it was so easy to be wrong about the signs of the times that I quit doing a lot of it. I still do it in an academic, logical sort of way, telling people what to expect as the dispensations unfold. But to say that a particular event like this coronavirus is a fulfillment of prophetic truth is something I do not do anymore. The most I'll do is say that it's a fulfillment of things like we're going to see in the tribulation period, and it is a picture of things like judgments that came on Israel in the Old Testament and were predicted to come on Israel in the Old Testament when they turned away from the Lord. So while these events that are taking place today may very well be events like those that are going to come to pass, and they may encourage us to believe that what God has recorded as prophetic truth is not only probable, but it's very possible, and that it could come fast, it could come quickly. I personally believe that the tribulation period won't start until after the Lord has returned to take away the church. I believe in the truth that there is a period of time called the wrath of God. And it's the tribulation period. And I do believe that the Lord has told the Thessalonians, and I believe it applies to me too, that he has delivered us who are saved from the wrath to come. And however the Lord decides to do that, when I trusted Christ for salvation, my sins were put away. I was seen in Christ, and the judgment that I deserved has been borne by Christ. That does not mean that life will necessarily be rosy and that the wind will always be at my back and that there'll be no thorns or thorns in the roses or thistles on the earth. That doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that I might not get the coronavirus. It just means that for me, I'm not looking for the problems of life. I'm looking for the Lord and his return, which for the Christian is a blessed hope. If I were to take you to 1 Thessalonians 4, we're told that when the Lord returns for the church, we're to comfort one another with these words. And so rather than sitting here today and being distraught, I'm sitting here today and saying that if this is the end of the church age and if the tribulation period is about to be entered into with regard to the signing of a peace treaty by an unbelieving nation of Israel with someone in the old Roman Empire that ushers in a 10-nation confederacy, if we're about at that point, I am encouraged to know that my future is secured. The Lord has told us in John chapter 14, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And if I didn't believe in God right now, my heart would be troubled. But I believe in God, but more than that, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though I'm getting these calls from people who are all concerned and who are frantic, I just want to assure you that the only solution to the coronavirus is to make sure you're saved, and then to rely on the Lord Jesus. Use some wisdom in the way you carry on your associations and business, but use some wisdom and don't get frantic, because we could die in a car accident, or we could die with the flu. We could die with some other ailment. We could have a heart attack today. We need to always be prepared for the moment of death. Now, my daughter is working in a low-income clinic and she's coming home and living with us every night. So likely at some point I'm going to be exposed to this virus. But if I'm exposed to it, I assume that the Lord will either heal me or take me home. And either way, I'm prepared, and I hope you're prepared as well. Now, when we look at the book of Hosea, it's one of those books in the minor prophets, we call them minor because they're shorter prophets, that frankly I am not as equipped to speak on as I would like to be. I don't fully understand all that's said in that prophecy. But I will tell you this, that the prophecy is an interesting story about a man, a prophet, who was told to marry a woman who was unfaithful to him. Now, she may have been a prostitute when he married her, but there's a difference of opinion about that. It may be that he married a woman who was morally pure, and then after their marriage turned away from him and prostituted herself, but ultimately he takes her back. That is, he buys her back, and it's a picture of what God is going to do with Israel, again, as we begin to look at the prophetic picture. Now, remember that when it comes to the calendar of events and the prophetic picture, it really centers around Israel. It does not center around the United States. It does not center around the Gentile nations. There are statements made about the conditions that will occur in the last days. Men will be unthankful, unholy, boasters, and so on. We know those conditions are reflected in the epistles. But as far as the actual fulfillment of the prophetic plan, it's always associated with Israel. And Israel, at the time that this was written, had prostituted themselves. Jeroboam had made a golden calf, and he had set it up in Dan and in Beersheba, and asked the northern 10 tribes to worship there rather than at Jerusalem. And even Judah had turned aside to the worship of pagan idols. And the Lord is about to judge them for all of that. He says judgment is going to come because he's a jealous God, and he won't share his worship with others. He wants us to be totally loyal to him. But what we find out in the book of Hosea is that God is a God of restoration. There may be somebody listening in my audience today who feels that, yes, at one time I was walking with the Lord, but I failed him, and there's no hope for me now. But there is hope, because the Lord has told us in Hosea, and again, this is for Israel, but it's a principle we can apply to ourselves. And I'm going to read from Hosea 6, verse 1. Come, and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. And if we were to go down to Hosea 14 and verse 1, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. And so even though Israel had failed the Lord, they would end up being taken captive into Assyria first and then finally into Babylon. And even though that would happen, they were going to be restored. And there's a lot of differences of opinion about what it means when he will revive them on the third day. He will raise them up. Some think that's a picture of the resurrection of the Lord, but it seems to be have to do with something with the calendar of events that's going to take place in a coming day. And there are some who think that since one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day, he's saying that in the third millennium after Israel is destroyed by Titus, that the Lord will raise Israel up again as a nation, but it will require them to go through the purifying effects of the tribulation period first. And frankly, though I don't like to set dates and try to explain calendars, that kind of appeals to me, that may very well be what will happen as far as the nation of Israel is concerned. But while I don't like to be dogmatic about the calendar of events, I like to be dogmatic about the fact that God not only wants to save, if we get away from the Lord and we fail him like Peter did, he wants to restore. And the same gospel that appealed to us when we trusted Christ for salvation is the same gospel that will give us the assurance that God has received us and has restored us to fellowship with himself. I do not believe we ever lose our salvation, but we can certainly lose our fellowship. And so, as I look at the children of Israel, I want you to understand that in Hosea, we have an unfaithful woman who is taken back to her husband. And if you've been unfaithful to the Lord in any way, come back to him. Now's the time to realize that our steadfast hope and joy is in fellowship with the Lord himself. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.